Hello, 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 ladies of No BS. I'm Coach Lizzie. Welcome to our nighttime eating and drinking call. Ah, oh, I'm so excited to be here tonight. This is the best. I got a chance to kind of switcheroo with Coach Christy, so I get to be with you tonight. And I'm so excited to get a chance to talk about our, challenges with nighttime eating, nighttime drinking. Maybe it's gummies, CBD, whatever. Anything that you struggle with in the evening hours, it is totally on the table. So glad that you're here. All right, we got folks coming in. It would be great if somebody would say that they can hear me in the chat so that I know that I'm not just talking to myself. That would be super. So y'all type into the chat and let me know. Okay, phew, we got some folks. That was a close one. All right. A couple of quick announcements. By the way, this is a coaching call. So if you want to get coached, if you got things that you want to talk about, you're like, nighttime eating is my thing. It is the obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss. I would love to talk to you tonight. So go ahead and raise your hands. I did want to tell you that, y'all, this is the best time to be part of No BS. It is the perfect time because obviously, we're talking about nighttime eating tonight on this call, but Corinne is doing a whole workshop, a whole like 5-hour workshop on April 27th on nighttime eating. Because this is, it's not just you that struggles with this. This is a thing that really challenges all of us. And so there's a whole workshop on April 27th that is coming up. If you've got a friend, a sister, a mom, an aunt, a cousin, whatever, or you're like, hey, come with me to this workshop. We're going to work through it together. We'll do the workbook and like we can talk about it. Then, invite some friends. It's absolutely a great opportunity to bring somebody who's not in No BS to No BS. It is for free for anybody who is a member. Also, then we're going to spend the whole month of May. So April's focus is on, rearranging your environment and your triggers. But then the 27th, April 27th, nighttime eating call kind of kicks off the month of May, which is all focused on nighttime eating, which then just like beautifully dovetails into the month of June, where we're talking about emotional eating. And there's a whole new mini course that Corinne has done on emotional eating. I cannot wait to see that and get the content. I am constantly amazed with the content that that woman puts out. Like, she really knows her stuff. So much good stuff coming in. And we're all going to get into it, whether it's nighttime eating, emotional eating. The next couple of months is the best time to be part of No BS. So you're here. This is good. Excellent. Okay. So I had a couple of quick thoughts I wanted to share about nighttime eating with a little bit of a like a spin on it. And then we'll get to some coaching. So like I said, this is a coaching call. If you feel like you want to get coached, you want to talk one-on-one about your challenges with nighttime eating, please raise your hand. Okay, so nighttime eating. Why is it so challenging? Well, obviously, there's lots of reasons. But sometimes, like there's sort of this Venn diagram with nighttime eating and perfectionism. And girl, if there's a person that knows about perfectionism, I am the one that like, oh. So this is definitely a topic that's near and dear to my heart. So give me an emoji if you have ever kind of had that thought of like, I was so good all day. And then I just couldn't hold the dam back anymore. And I wrecked it the whole night. Like, anyone, give me an emoji. We get some thumbs up. Yep. Exactly. And that is the classic all or nothing thinking that which is like perfectionism to a T, because our food choices on day were on plan and you felt like you were winning. I am winning this day. And then, it could have been something minor of like, a meeting went long or, even something, some good news of like, oh, we should celebrate. And something happened where you had a little bit, something went a little bit off and your brain is like, oh, good. Finally, I have a reason to eat whatever the blank I want. And your brain is like, this is great. Now I have an excuse. You eat what you want. Meanwhile, it's kind of coupled with the shame thoughts of like, oh, I blew it again. So it's like the I don't care and I blew it. It's like all in the same boat at the same time. And we sort of like tune out the I blew it thoughts, as long as we can eat, and then they come rushing in either later on the night or in the morning. And it's not your fault. Like, diets have set us up for this for sure. Not only have diets set us up for this, but our society has set us there. Like, I was reading a book recently. It's called The Perfection Trap, that is all about how our society is increasing in its prevalence of perfectionism, because it's, whether it's social media and, the kind of go for the golden ring type of thing, that we're really sort of inundated all the time. And so, it's not your fault that you find yourself falling into this sort of thinking. And you're not trapped in it. And so we can kind of, you can redefine what your evening looks like in terms of success, and like, what does that mean for you, and so forth. So, Darlene says she used to be an all or nothing person, but I have reformed thanks to No BS. Darlene, I would be so interested in knowing, if you could write in the chat or maybe even in the Q&A, like, what helped you? How did you reform your all or nothing thinking? That would be amazing. Okay, another perfectionist thought that tends to come along is, we think like, I'll be good tomorrow, or like, I can start fresh tomorrow, because a perfectionist loves nothing more than a fresh start, than like a nice, like the new b box of markers that I can make my plan with, the colored pencils and so forth. We like right corners, we like right angles, like things need to start on the first or on a Monday, or the first of the year, things like that. And when we wreck the evening, it's like, well, the evening is completely just trashed. There is no saving tonight, but I'll start fresh tomorrow. And the problem is, tomorrow we end up repeating today, because we have this thought of, I was good all day and then I wrecked it tonight. And that's kind of like a version of the perfectionist that's like looking for the right timing. And I also want to say, that's not your fault either, because the perfectionist who's looking for the right timing is not lazy, is not a procrastinator. They're just looking for the situation to like, for all of the temperature to be the right situation for that to be like, okay, now this will work. Which is understandable, but also difficult, because you don't want to be the kind of person who can only lose weight in perfect circumstances. Because, I mean, let's be real. How often does life present us with only perfect circumstances? Not that often, right? So you want to be the kind of person that can lose weight when, the dog pooped on the floor, who can lose weight when the meeting went long, who can lose weight when, your kid called and was like, can you pick me up early or late or whatever? And those are just like the like random everyday things. You also want to be the kind of person who can lose weight when, mom calls and said, we dad and I went to the emergency room, and things aren't good, or things like that. And so there are different seasons of life, and you want to be able to know that you can handle the things that come along. Food might be a source of relief, but it's not your only thing that you lean on. Like, you know that you are the person you can lean on. You are what you can rely on to help yourself. All right. So, other things that us perfectionists tend to find with eating at night is that, oh, this one's me for sure, is that I eat at night to escape the pressure of being perfect all day. And you know what's funny? Like, perfectionism is sneaky, because I would not have called myself a perfectionist until I did some deep journaling, which, props to the March theme of the month about journaling, which helped me realize that it really was like trying to get it right, trying to be good, was my driver throughout the day. That by the time the evening came along, I was like, I just want a reward for being good. And when we're on all day, whether we're performing, we're trying to like earn our worth, or saving no to saying no to cravings, that type of thing, like, our brains just get exhausted. And by the end of the day, we're like, Can I just please have something where I don't have to think and I can just like, oh. And my brain wants to tell me I relax. Like someone else's brain might say, this is comfort. This is pleasurable, whatever. But what really is it? It's about release. It's about no longer performing and just allowing yourself to let go because perfectionism is like a pressure cooker. And by the time the night rolls around, we're like, I cannot pressure my way through the night anymore. I just need to let go. I need that release. And food can feel like the only valve to let that steam out. And so, again, like I want to say, it's not a willpower issue. It's not a weakness. It's not a character flaw. It is your body and your brain saying, like, I need rest. I can't operate all day under this intense pressure. And so that's also like a really common thing. And if that has been you, like it's okay. You're not alone. I got two more here. So another thing that we often find ourselves saying is, I should know this by now, or I should have more control by now. Notice the should in there? Like, I know better. I should know better. And this is like, sprinkling in a seasoning of guilt on top of whatever it is that you're eating at night, which just FYI, like doesn't digest very well. And that's kind of a joke and also kind of real that actually when you give yourself judgment and guilt, that increases it basically comes with a cocktail of neurotransmitters in your body. So guilt, shame, self-judgment, etc., triggers the fight or flight, which releases cortisol and adrenaline in your body. Cortisol and adrenaline in your body basically say we need to shut down digestion and long-term thinking because those are not emergency functions. And we need to have emergency functions online only. But what that does is it means that your digestion is slower. It makes you store fat. And when you have that should around, I should know better, I should have more control, it's basically literally increasing the chemicals in your body that makes digestion go slower. And store fat. E, ouch, right? Not so great. So if you've ever told yourself, like, I should be past this by now, I should know better, there, like, know that you are not behind. There is no such thing because there is no diet out there that taught you how to handle emotional eating. Like, I'm pretty sure Weight Watchers was not like, here's what you do when mom calls and says, dad's sick. Like nobody told you how to handle that. And so it's okay that you haven't figured this out. Like it's very normal. The chances are you learned from a very early age to turn to food for safety, for love, for comfort. And so that is your survival level brain saying, I am taking care of you. Here's how we do it. So it's okay. And the last thing that us perfectionists tend to notice in the nighttime eating is like, I got, I've been perfect all day. And it's almost like you're holding on by your fingernails, right? Anybody, recognize that feeling? Like it gets to be, 3:37, 4:59, 5:26. And you're like, oh my God, can I just hold on a little bit longer? And then one thing, one cracker, one drink, one something, and you're like, that's it. I'm giving up completely. It's like the floodgates have opened. Basically, it's like, let the fuck it eating begin. And, basically, this is all or nothing. I already blew it. I might as well have everything. The day cannot be saved. And that is basically perfectionism convincing you that one single slip up is like, you're done. It is completely over. You might as well start tomorrow. And one snack is not a deal breaker. And one thing that I love about something that Corinne talks about is like consistency and perfection are not the same thing. Consistency is quite variable, actually. Perfectionism requires us to do the exact same thing and make it sure that we do it perfectly every single day. Consistency is very different, actually. Consistency meets your day, your energy level. It meets you where you are at for that day. And so if you, let's say you didn't sleep well last night, like you're consistency, your effort that day is going to look a lot different on a day where you slept great and you're like, I'm going to crush it. And, or perhaps a day where you've got, a whole calendar full of meetings. your consistency that day is going to look a lot different on a Sunday when you're like, I got the whole day. I'm going to do some meal prep for the week. I got this covered. So, perfectionism wants to say one mistake and then we're done. And I would say consistency is much different. It's about meeting yourself, meeting the day where you're at. So those are some thoughts on how perfectionism and nighttime eating just like, they just go hand in hand. They're like walking together. And it doesn't have to be that way. And FYI, if you've ever felt like you struggle with all or nothing thinking, you struggle with perfectionism and weight loss, that is absolutely something that I'd love to coach on in private coaching. So like send me an email. Let's chat. Send me a note in Facebook. Okay. Darlene said, I guess you could say in no BS language, I did 1% level ups, starting with what would make the biggest difference, thinking I'm hungry. If not, then I would wait till I was. I used to think I had to do all the things or I did nothing. Darlene, thank you for writing that. And it's interesting you say that because Coach Kathy and I did a Facebook Live like 2 weeks ago now. And it was about journaling, but how to journal when you feel like you want to quit. And one of the things that I think so many of us feel like can be overwhelming in weight loss is I have to do all the things. And I would say, actually, don't try to do all the things. I would say, ask yourself, what's the main obstacle getting in my way? And focus on that one thing. Focus on one thing. And even if you're like, the main obstacle that's getting in my way is too big, I can't address it. Or like it feels like too like Mount Everest-ish. It's fine. Do the easiest thing. Focus on that one thing. So, Karen saying, my brain is exhausted. Exactly. Because you're trying to do all the things. You've had a full day of trying to be perfect. And so instead of trying to do all the things, try and do one thing. Gotcha. Oh gosh, Dawn, sending you lots and lots of love. I hope that your dad is feeling better very soon. Okay, so team, if you've got questions, please type them into the Q&A. Right now, we've got Diane has raised her hand. So we're gonna do some coaching. Anybody else who wants to do coaching, raise your hand. We got a whole hour together, and we'll do some coaching together. And Diane has declined to be promoted to panelists. Okay, well, I guess Diane doesn't want to be coached. That was the only person we have, so this could be a short call. If nobody else raises their hand, I got a little bit else I could break riff on. But otherwise, y'all, we need some folks to raise their hands. We need some coaching. Thank you, team. Okay, great. We got Janelle. We'll do Janelle and then Lisa. Love it. And then Kim can be after that. Yay. Great. Thank you guys for raising your hands. So good.
There we go. How
Hi.
are you today, Coach Lizzie?
I'm doing fantastic and I'm so happy to see you. How are you, Janelle?
Good to see you. Doing well. Doing
Yeah.
well. I have been out on medical leave from work since the December 18th. And so I found myself falling back into those old nighttime eating, snacking, oh, I need something in my mouth to go to sleep like a baby kind of habits. Normally, I'll feed the dogs and watch TV, and sometimes I'm hungry for dinner, sometimes not, and I have a feeling that's probably my culprit. Although when I have the urge to do that nighttime snacking, I'm upstairs in the bed and like not physically hungry.
Okay.
So I've already removed myself from the environment as the kitchen and all the foods downstairs. So I'm not sure what to try next.
Okay.
I guess I should try journaling, but I want to see what wisdom you have to impart.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get a little more context first. So, are you eating in bed? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay, so kitchen's downstairs. You have gone down to the kitchen, proactively, purposefully grabbed a snack and brought it back up to bed.
Yeah, sometimes I keep little snacks in my nightstand drawer. So
Okay.
maybe I haven't cleaned up my environment like I thought I had.
That's interesting. So what is the reason why you have some snacks in your nighttime drawer. Like, what does your
Okay, so
brain
I
tell
get
you then?
hungry.
If I get hungry.
Okay, so it's in case I get hungry, or it's out of sheer laziness, or it's because I know that whole nighttime nosh thing will probably hit.
Okay, you're probably right. It probably will. And do you want to make it easier to eat or more challenging to eat?
More challenging.
Okay. So that does seem like perhaps low-hanging fruit that you could remove the noshing snacky things from your nightstand.
Yeah.
That's an option. And that it's still possible though that your brain would be like, okay, I'm still willing to get out of bed and go get a snack.
Yeah.
So you said you've been home for medical leave?
Yeah, I had surgery on my hand, and I actually get to go back to work the end of this month after I go on a 10-day cruise.
Hey, all right. Well, I hope your hand is recovering. Do you think, well, let me ask in a different way. What do you think your brain is looking for when it asks for food, even though your body's not hungry?
Probably rest and comfort because I share a bed with a husband and three long-haired dachshunds. So sleep is not always the best thing. The Aura ring will oftentimes tell on me.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, now that I say that out loud, that's probably a big part of why I'm feeling munchy. Is, you know, I'm not getting that 7 hours of quality sleep at night.
Fun fact, when you are tired, you can expect the next day that your cravings will be higher because you're low on energy. And so your body's like, we need energy. And it knows that foods high in salt, sugar, and fat have lots of energy in small packets.
Ah, okay.
So,
That's interesting.
yeah. So anybody who's listening, if you like, I have a I didn't sleep well last night protocol because it took lots of like trial and error and like, oh dang, this is I'm seeing a pattern here that when I
Ah.
didn't sleep well the night before, my cravings were higher. And I was like, man, I'm just so munchy and I want all the carbs and I want the things, and
Yeah.
nothing to satisfy. There is science behind that. And so you can know in advance if I am chronically tired or if I just had a really lousy night of sleep. My cravings are going to be higher the next day. So, Janelle, if you're tired and not actually physically hungry, first of all, how can you give your body some good fuel earlier in the day to like give it that energy it's looking for? And then also, how can you address the actual tiredness?
Oh, wow. Well, if I start my day with a good breakfast, you know, eggs, breakfast taco, that kind of thing that's got a lot of protein in it, or a protein coffee. And then if I would not guilt myself to death about taking a nap. Because I feel like, oh, I need to be in there working on content, and I need, because I'm a coach too, and so I always feel like there's always something to be done, and I feel like it should be strapped to the desk. So I tend to shit all over myself when really I just need a fucking nap.
Okay. So, what would help you, given that you're a coach, reevaluate that should thought and look at rest, look at a nap in a way that's productive?
You know, I've done a lot of mindset work around this because, you know, in this society, in this culture, we turn people that go, the type A's into martyrs. They're put on a pedestal. Oh, look at all you get done. And perhaps I need to go back to the days of putting my sticky notes up everywhere that says, you know, rest is essential. Self-care is not selfish, those kind of things that I've had all over this house when I was actively losing weight. I mean, it looked like a Post-it factory had blown up in here. But it helped.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of rest as a weight loss tool?
Oh, well, yes, I just did a little thing about that 2 or 3 weeks ago to my Saturday morning coaching group about sleep, the silent weight loss tool.
Isn't it so fun when you're like you give this great advice and you're like, but I'm not taking it.
Exactly, exactly. Because my brain says, kick those dogs out of the
Well, there's
Because
sleep at night and then there's naps. Like and to be honest, like those feel different because during the day I'm supposed to be productive, I'm supposed to be getting stuff done. So if we're just talking about naps, how could a nap be a weight loss tool?
Because when you sleep, that's when your body heals and restores and all that kind of stuff. It would lower the cortisol, lower the cravings, and just make me not quite so cranky and cravey.
Amen. Yeah. In addition, it might also help you be more efficient with the content that you wanted to create.
Yeah.
One thing that I will, if I've had a rough night of sleep, which is not all that uncommon, I have a meditation app where I can like turn it to like 10 minutes, 10, 20 minutes, whatever. And I'll use we I, my husband and I call it like a napitation, where I sort of meditate, I sort of nap, and I'm like, that counts as a nap. So, I mean, yeah. And it's also like contained. It is a defined amount of time. And if I don't actually fall asleep, it still in my brain gets credit for resting. That,
Yeah.
it's, I don't know if it's actually true, but maybe it's a useful story where I feel like I rested proactively. I gave myself a break. My cravings are lower. I'm more productive. I'm more intentional about the rest of my day. And I would say 9 times out of 10 that I actually do it, I do feel way better in the next couple of hours of the evening.
Yeah, that's something that, I keep forgetting I have on my phone. I've got a couple of those apps for the, soothing, go to sleep. I played one the other night and lo and behold, I went to sleep fairly quickly. Yeah, perhaps I need a sticky note to remind me I have those
But
and to
yeah, I
turn the
think.
TV off.
Oh, that's a thing too. Yeah. One last thing about naps is, so often we have the story about naps of like, I should be doing something productive. But if
Right.
we could redefine what productivity means, productivity is something that gives energy. Productivity is something that is like life-giving. And rest can be that. And so if we could just like substitute in the math equation and be like, rest or a nap equals weight loss. Like, what a fun weight loss tool. Like, that's way more fun than making a 24-hour plan. I get to take a nap.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. So, get another tool
Thank
in
you
your weight
very
loss
much.
toolbox. You're so welcome.
I knew you would have some words of wisdom.
Thank you. You also mentioned the TV. Is that something that you want to talk about?
Oh, I love my TV. I do. I love my TV. I sleep better when I read before bed. But, oftentimes, if I'm busy during the day, shooting all over me, and doing all that productive stuff, then I'm like going, it's law and order time, time to relax. I mean, I do have a dog named Elliot Stabler, so
That's awesome.
we did, another one's name's Morgan Freeman, so yeah, we
Wow.
got a
Okay.
house full of celebrities. No wonder I don't get any sleep at night.
They have their needs, apparently.
They do, but yeah, so and yeah, that's where I tend to get hung up with that is. This is the me time. This is the me time where I should have me a snack and some TV, like my little grandkids. I should have a snack and my screen. When really I don't need either one. That's not what I'm sure if I checked in with myself, which I will do tonight, that's not what I need at that moment. That's not what I'm craving. That's not what my body needs. My body needs rest. I want to relax. And as much as I love Law and Order, if I'm wrapped up in that story and I'm trying to figure out who the killer is, I am not going to be relaxed because I'm going to be there helping him.
I've been joking with my husband lately. Like I have become like such a delicate flower that if there's anything that's going on in the evening, my sleep is just wrecked. Whether it's like
Yes.
there's a sporting event, like a track meet, or we're watching a show or something. I'm like, I've become so old, so young. Well, I like to think I'm some young, turning 50 this year. At any rate,
Oh, that's a big one.
I know, I'm excited.
I like it.
Yeah, but no, there really is something to that, that like our brains get wrapped, you know, our brains are storytelling machines. And so we get wrapped up in the story we're watching. And so it is true. There is some scientific study that like, if you're watching an intense show at night, your cortisol levels are up. It's harder to sleep and it stinks because it's so entertaining, but it is harder to sleep with that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You coaches must not ever do anything fun other than work and learn, 'cause
Yep, no fun.
y'all are on it. And
Oh,
we appreciate it. I really do.
we have
All
plenty.
right. Oh, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So how can you have a balance between law and order and some like Janelle me time that's actually settling your nervous system?
I could watch my Law and Order stuff while the dogs are downstairs eating their dinner, because they don't care about Law and Order. I've tried, but yeah, I could do that before I go upstairs and go to bed, and kind of make the upstairs the relaxation thing, like turn on the calm, meditation app, pull out the Kindle, get absorbed in the book, journal. Or I could just god awful go to sleep if I'm tired. Imagine that.
Imagine
Yeah.
that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I don't think of these things when I'm not talking out loud, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, especially again as a coach, like we've got this sort of Rolodex in our brain of like, okay, you could try this, you could try this. You know, but when it comes to implementation, like that's it's hard. And that's why everybody needs a coach. I need a coach. Corinne needs a coach. Janelle needs a coach. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still here 6 years later.
Amen. So, what are
Right.
some of your reflections from this conversation?
I'm gonna take the snacks out of the bedroom, out of the nightstand drawer. I'm gonna put my Kindle right beside my bed to where I can see it. I'm reminded. I know it's there. I'll watch Law and Order, crime TV, whatever, downstairs while the dogs are having dinner. And I just won't bring them upstairs until I'm finished, or 8 o'clock, whichever comes first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And you know, that kind of helps you have a little bit more of a structure in your nighttime ritual. And even though sometimes it's entertaining to continue to watch that exciting show, you can also know like it's also entertaining to get some really great sleep and not have
Absolutely.
big cravings tomorrow.
Absolutely, because I love it when I we hear you, Elliot. I love it when I wake up and the Oura ring, it's all blue.
Isn't
It's
that
like,
great?
ooh, great sleep. Yeah.
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 I get do the happy dance. And I actually track my sleep with the habit tracker where I track everything else.
That's
And
interesting. Have you noticed anything that helps or hurts your sleep?
I was gonna say I probably should, or I think what I'll do is to do I did a 2 week sleep tracker for my Saturday group. So I think I'll do that myself and just kind of see, because it's like, a date, time I went to bed, time I turned off the light, what was I doing before I turned off the light, how many hours sleep did I feel rest, it's work, but it's data, because in
Yeah.
God we trust, all others must have data.
Exactly. I love that. That is
Yep.
fantastic. Yeah. Excellent.
Cool.
Wow.
You are the best, my friend.
Hey, back
And
at
if you
ya.
ever said they're going to get more long-haired dachshunds, get one. We've got three, and I could always have more, but I'd lose a husband. So, yeah. They're
Well,
darling little dogs.
yeah. No, well, my parents had a long-haired dachshund, and she was the sweetest. Janelle, I had so much fun talking to you tonight. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, on to the next one.
All right, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Okay, that was fun. All right, I love meeting no BS ladies. All right, we got Lisa is coming on up. Lisa, who is in my Goals Mastery program. That has been just so amazing. And I love seeing all of the folks in the chat. Lots of really good info coming in. Meditation apps and so forth. And I thought I saw somewhere that Karen told me she'd only had something, one cup of creamer or something. Way to go, Karen, since our last conversation. Great. Lisa, hello. So good to see you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm better now and I get to chat with you in person.
Look, when nobody was going to raise their hand, I was like, well, I mean, I feel like I should raise my hand.
Yeah, well, thank you for rescuing me. I appreciate that.
Seems like a good opportunity.
Absolutely.
And I have not, like, I've been here since 22. I lost 45 pounds that first year. But then I haven't lost any more weight. Now, I haven't gained weight, but as Corinne would say, I've been dicking around with the same 5 pounds for 2 years, really. So I just want to, and I would like to lose another 80 to 90 pounds. So there's weight to lose. You know, it's not like I'm just, oh, this would be a great maintenance. No, I need to lose some more weight, and I want to. But, you know, I'm not making any progress, and I'm not sure why, really.
So, we've been emailing back and forth, and we've covered lots of topics, and I would ask, and I have asked you this in our email, but I would ask this of anybody who's listening, like, when you have had that success and then you stalled for 2 years, like, okay, you've made great progress and now your body has acclimatized to the weight you're at now. And the amount of food you're eating is the amount of food to fill the current, the body weight that you currently have. So we don't, again, we don't want to address all the things. We want to address one thing, maybe the thing that's the main obstacle. And even if it's not the main obstacle, still addressing one thing and making progress on it is going to help you get that needle moving. So we've addressed a couple of things in our emails, whether it's struggle wasting food, better good, better, best, stopping at enough, and so forth. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the email I sent you like 2 hours ago.
Please.
But what would you say if we're gonna focus on not all the things, but one thing, what comes to mind for you?
I definitely think stopping at enough is a good place to start. And I say that because, one, I kind of think maybe my enough has changed. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just more sensitive. I don't know. Like, I feel like I cleaned up a lot of stuff in that year, like low-hanging fruit kind of. And then you kind of level off, and so I think it's time to do it again. And today, I've been trying to eat lunch at the kitchen table with like no TV, no device. You know, I'll usually have my Kindle and be reading a book. And today I felt myself sigh. And I don't think that I normally sigh. You know, people talk about the sigh. I think I've really had that very often, but today I for sure had it. And I was like, did I just sigh?
Is that what that was?
Was like, I think I did. So I decided I would just stop because I'm reading a book. So I'm like, okay, we're going to push this away and I'm just going to read for a minute and we're just going to kind of see. And I definitely would not have stopped at that point. And it's not like I don't eat to full. In fact, I don't even like to eat to full anymore. It's very uncomfortable. I don't remember it bothering me this much in the past, like when I before the 45 pounds, but now if I overeat, I really don't like how I feel. But this, I wouldn't have said I was too enough yet. But that was
That was 4 hours ago, and I'm totally fine, you know. So obviously, it's been enough.
Ah,
You
okay.
know?
Yeah. So this is
So,
like lunch that you ate and it, you,
right.
right, okay.
So I think enough is a very good place to start because I'm obviously overeating. And I don't.
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying. Keep going.
And I don't think I do a tremendous amount of snacking when I'm not hungry. I really don't do a tremendous amount of snacking. And that's another thing, because people talk about all these snacks. So every day I plan snacks. I don't
Right.
snacks.
Okay.
And I'm not hungry between meals. So that's, to me, that does make me wonder if maybe that's an indication that I'm eating a little too much at these meals.
Maybe. So first I want to address like when you said it's possible that my enough has changed. And I would say the chances are that it has because the amount of food it takes to fuel a body 45 pounds ago is different than the amount of fuel it takes to fuel your body at this weight, which is different than the amount of fuel it would take to fuel a body that's 20 pounds less than you are now or 50 pounds less than you are right now. I remember hearing an Corinne say an analogy once of like you hang on a second, I have to cough. Oh, that's fun. You know, we sort of like intuitively know that you pull up an SUV to the gas station and like it's gonna take a lot of gas versus you pull up a hybrid compact car and it's not gonna take that much gas. We get that, but we don't necessarily translate that to our bodies. And you know, we have this brain d definition of like, I used to eat this much, and now I'm eating so much less. And like, yes, of course you would, because your body is less. You are no longer the SUV. You are now the midsize car, and you're heading down towards the compact car. And the midsize car requires less fuel. What are your thoughts on that analogy?
It makes sense. And I have tried sometimes to like, you know how they say, cut your portion in half. So I'll take my now smaller portion. And I'll think, oh, I'm going to cut that in half. And instantly my brain is like, oh, hell no, that will never be enough. I mean, like, it's instant. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, I feel like we probably should try this, you know. But my brain is appalled by the idea. And then it starts with all the, oh my God, you're going to be starving before you got water aerobics after work tonight. You won't be able to eat again till like 7:45. I mean, it starts with all the things about, oh my God, you know, it's an emergency.
And this is so normal. Nothing has gone wrong. In fact, I was having a conversation with one of my private clients about this, just like today and yesterday. And she's been experimenting with a smaller portion at lunch. And so basically what I suggest to a client is like, let's just see, like start off with 3/4 of your normal serving size. And this is not, I'm restricting. This is not, I only get to have whatever. It's more, we're going to start out with less and we're going to see, we're going to find out. And we're going to expect your brain to say, oh my God, this is hardly any food. Not a problem. Nothing's gone wrong. Your response to your brain is, let's just find out. Let's just see. If we're still hungry in 30 minutes, we will totally eat more. And so she tried this and she had a smaller portion for lunch. And she was like, my brain completely freaked out. It was like, this was so not enough food. And she responded with, like, we knew this was going to happen. We're, you know, this is not something to worry about. If we're still hungry, we can eat more. And then she found out she was not still hungry. And you know what, Lisa? She was pissed that she was not still hungry. Because she was like, I want to eat more. My brain is angry, like legit angry, that I don't need more food. And I responded to her, I was like, this is so good. Yes, you're absolutely right. It is so normal. And you are allowed to feel pissed that your body doesn't need as much food as your brain wants. Because it really is almost like a grief, like a mourning. Like your brain has this idea of how much food we want or how much food we need. And when you find out your body doesn't need as much, your brain is like, what the fuck? This is not fair. I'm supposed to get what I get. And so it really, like, you can really acknowledge that your brain is pissed off about it. And you are allowed to, in Corinne terms, like sit in your dirty diaper of like, this is not fair. But, when you argue with reality, reality tends to win. Eventually, ideally you can be like, well, the reality is my body doesn't need as much food. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to argue with it either. But until then, and I told this to my clients, like, you're allowed to be pissed. You're allowed to sit in your shitty diaper. And eventually you want to work your way towards acceptance. And she was like, damn it. I guess this is what being a grown up is like. It was a very fun conversation.
I experienced that with pizza because I love pizza. And so, not all pizza is created equal. And so, if we go out and have really great pizza at our favorite, like one piece, that's all I need. And it was almost like grief, because it's like, I just feel like I need more. I want more. I should have, but I'm knowing physically, and it really is. It's a little bit of a mind fuck, really, because your body's feeling one thing and your brain is telling you something. It's interesting.
And so I want to call out that it's not fair thought, or that kind of grieving moment where your brain is like, this is so little food. And for the record, it's not necessarily so little food. It's just that your brain is used to eating for an SUV, and now you're a mid-sized car, and you're moving your way towards being a compact car. And it just needs a different level of fuel. Your brain takes a little bit of time to get used to it. And if you can acknowledge that this is reality, I don't have to like it, but I don't have to argue with it either, that reduces the suffering and the story of it's not fair. Because when we say it's not fair, we're arguing with reality. We're resisting. And it really allows things to change much faster when you let go of that resistance and you can say, I don't have to like the fact that I only need one slice of pizza, but I don't have to argue with it either.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's a good way to look at it.
And so, Lisa, as you're saying, I feel like my enough may have changed, which totally may be true. This could be a great opportunity for you to just experiment and be like, how much, like, what does enough feel like in this mid-sized level body? And so, ways, well, I could offer you some ideas, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Like, how might you experiment and figure out what does enough feel like now in this size body?
Well, it probably would be a good idea to try eating half of what I've been eating with giving myself permission that if I am legitimately hungry, I can have more, half of the half or whatever. Or maybe I just stop at the half if I feel okay with it, if I'm not still actually hungry, and put it away and wait and just see how long does it take me to get hungry.
Interesting,
You know, because obviously I'm a little out of touch with what my enough is, because I would definitely not have stopped today. And it's not that I was, well, in my mind, I was not going to overeat, and I was not going to eat to full or even near full, but I wouldn't have stopped when I did had I not sighed. And so that makes me think the feeling I'm feeling and calling that enough, or that I have been feeling, it's still too much. So enough is going to feel a little different. And I don't know that I know what that is just yet.
Well, and an analogy that I, shared with you in the email, just to for everybody who's listening, and shout out to a different client of mine, Janet, who used the analogy of enough is like charging your cell phone battery. That if you charge your body battery, so you eat to about 60 to 70%, that is enough. That is eating to enough. That equals weight loss. If you eat to 80%, that is eating to full. That is maintenance. If you eat 85% plus, that is eating past full, that equals weight gain. And so a lot of times we are eating to full maintenance and thinking that's enough. And actually, what creates weight loss is eating to 60 or 70%. And so it's, and again, like it's going to change as your body changes, and that's normal.
Makes sense, honestly. It does make sense. And
Yeah.
I would say, and I have replied to your email, and I think this is what I said in the email. If you ask me what percentage do I call, have I been calling enough? I would have said 70 to 80, probably.
Okay.
The 85 feels like you're getting too close to full, but like, once I become aware food is hitting my stomach, like if I get a sensation and then I'm like, okay, that's enough. Because I know when I stop eating in about 10 minutes, I'm gonna really feel that more.
Right.
Well, it's too much.
Right.
I think,
Yeah.
on that. So now I need to eat less and then try to figure out what it feels like in my body or some kind of signal like the sigh today
Yeah.
that I've had enough.
Well, it is interesting that you notice the sigh, and also high five and kudos to you for that. But a lot of times, our enough signals are actually mental. Our full signals are what we feel in our tummy. Like by the time we feel in our tummy, we're heading towards full, which is maintenance. Enough is more like I'm looking for a best bite. I'm getting a little bored. I feel the sigh. I wonder if have I had enough? Am I still hungry? The mental signals are usually the first signs that you're like, I'm probably at enough. But that's when the brain is like, this can't be enough. I've hardly had anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What mine's saying anyway. Oh my God, no. Do you know you can't eat dinner until really late? No, this will not last until then.
Yeah. And I want to really, really, really emphasize that, like, if you try and eat to 60, 70% and you're still hungry, eat. Like,
I keep a protein bar in my purse, so
yeah.
even if I were away from home, I have something that is decent to, get you by.
Yeah. So one of, like, for me personally, like, I do not particularly like a monk meal or the halftime method. I do not love mindful eating. I love me a good multitasking.
Yes.
So I get around that by serving myself less to start. And so I can do my clean plate club thing and also not, go past full because I've got this sort of natural barrier of like, there's nothing left on my plate. So if you find that that's how you operate, you could start with less. Finish it with no issues whatsoever, and then just wait a tick, wait 10 minutes, and be like, how am I feeling? And I've mentioned this in Goals Mastery, but I'd say it again, is that a really important nuance to ask yourself is instead of saying, am I at enough, don't ask that question, because most of us would say, well, I mean, I could always eat more. Instead, what you should ask is, am I still hungry? Because usually that answer has a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So eat that smaller portion, finish it, wait 10 minutes. Am I still hungry? If yes, absolutely eat. If no, let's just see. Let's see how long it takes until I get hungry again. Okay.
I think that's a good way to operate.
All right. So let's break this down to action steps, Lisa. What is today? Tuesday. So for the rest of this week, what little mini experiments you want to try to help you Kind of just recalibrate what enough feels like in your body.
I'm gonna continue eating lunch at the kitchen table. That is working well for me, I think. And the whole house is silent, so it does help me hear what's in my brain more. But then dinner is trickier because my husband's home. We're eating in front of the TV, so it's distracted
For
between
sure.
two things, very
That's
distracting.
okay. Yeah.
But I can serve myself less, and I think I heard Corinne, somebody like in the last week or so has said if you eat on smaller plates,
Yeah.
you eat like 22% less.
That is legit.
So, and I keep thinking I'm going to try that, but I keep not trying that. So I think for the rest of the week, I will try that at dinner, is eat on that smaller plate and see how that works.
Okay. And let's go ahead and prepare when your brain says, oh my gosh, this is like hardly anything. How do you want to respond?
Well, if it's dinner, the reality is I'll be falling asleep by 8:30 or 9, so that I
Girl
can
after my own heart.
go on to bed, girl. But I know my brain is going to say that. It always says that. And maybe that's what you always say this. So we're just going to see.
Exactly.
I've
Like,
seen you how much you say we need, and I'm not losing any weight anymore. So we're going to try it my way now.
yep. That is my favorite response to my brain is like, let's just see what happens. Let's just see. Give it 5 minutes, give it 1 minute, give it 10 minutes. Just like, let's just see what happens. That you're like, I'm not making any promises. I'm not making any rules that like I feel like I can't keep. It's like, let's just see.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of success. Like right now in this moment, I need to remind myself that I stopped at lunch thinking it wasn't going to be enough, or I didn't feel like. But here we are 4 hours later, and it's been fine. I need to remind myself on the other side of trying something or doing something I don't want to do. To help me, if I can remember to say, okay, see, we just did this and it was totally.
Yeah. I already have evidence that this could work. So let's just see.
So my brain registers it somewhere.
And just like, the old video of phases of change, like this is, we're not expecting perfection. We're expecting it to be, a process of like learning and iterating. And that's absolutely, you're right on track.
I am a perfectionist, though, so that, you know.
Well, I'm so excited that we get to work together in private coaching in a couple of weeks.
I need
We can address that.
I can get Lizzie. You have a big task ahead of you.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
It's a challenge.
Well, so Lisa, do you feel like you've got some action steps?
I do.
Amazing. All
Thank you
right.
so much. I really do.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for raising your hand and giving me a chance to chat with you tonight.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I appreciate it
Thank
very
you. Me too. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right. So, everybody, we kind of bounced around on a bunch of different topics. Some of the things that I addressed in the beginning of like, why do we end up nighttime eating, particularly as a perfectionist, like I've been good all day. Some of the solutions to address that is like, okay, so what does good mean? And like, how can you plan in some little breaks, whether that's a break for how I'm talking to myself of like, I have to perform, I have to be good. And also, can you plan in a snack in the evening so that you have a target that you know you're planning in with some guardrails? Oh, I had a thought just a second ago and it escaped me. There's also the question of like, what do I think my brain is getting from the food when my body has already had enough food? So like my body is fine. My body doesn't need any more fuel, but my brain wants more. What do I think my brain is getting from that? That's a great question to journal on and ask yourself, like, A lot of times my brain will tell me, well, it helps me relax. Okay, that's so good to know. Really? Does it? Does the food actually help me relax? I was having a conversation with somebody in Ask Coaches about, does food in front of the TV actually make the TV show more relaxing? Does it make the TV show more entertaining? Does it make the food more delicious? And like the more we just tease it apart, she's like, well, the food is not more delicious because I don't actually taste it because I'm not paying attention to it. Having food with the show doesn't impact the show at all. Like the show is what it is. It's really just I've attached these two things. The food is not what helps me relax. It is the thought that, oh, this is my release. This is my chance to let down my perfect day, my perfect performance, and I can just relax. So if it is the thought that I can release at the end of the day, you don't necessarily need the food to do that. You can do that in your thoughts. You could do that with the TV without the food. So, those are just th things to kind of think about. Like if I eat at night because it's my opportunity to finally like relax and let go, what is your brain thinking that the food is helping you release? So really want to encourage you to question that and journal on that. And sometimes we may be like, maybe you're a night owl and you're bored, and that is a legit thing. Like I used to think that boredom was like a dumb reason to eat until I learned that the brain registers boredom like in the next door neighbors to where it registers physical pain. So our brains really, 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 really don't like to be bored. So good to know. Like if you're bored, what are other things that could be entertaining besides food? Because your body is fine. It's your brain that wants something. So just a couple of things to think about. We are at the hour. I so appreciate you all taking time to spend your evening with me. Thank you so much. Happy April. Come visit with myself and Coach Lisa and of course Corinne on the nighttime eating workshop, which will be April 27th. Invite your friends, your sisters, your cousins, your mothers. Then we have nighttime eating all through the month of May, and then emotional eating coming up in June. It's a great time to be part of No BS. I'm so glad you're here. Mwah, 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 mwah. Have a good night. Bye.